all over North Africa, Middle East, there have been demonstrations, uprisings, as the people demand change, seeking freedom, revolution. But there never was a more revolutionary demonstration than what we saw reenacted here this morning with the children. When Jesus came into the city of Jerusalem, there was indeed a demonstration. A demonstration on the part of many of the people to say, here comes our salvation. Here comes our Savior. Hosanna, praise the Lord who has come to save his people. In fact, the translation of our scriptures, the NIV, is a bit weak at this point. The word that's used to say that there was an uproar, it was a seismic explosion of excitement. The city was basically shaken, turned upside down. Between 2 and 3 million people were gathered, coming together for the Feast of Passover there in the city of Jerusalem. And so this would have been a huge crowd of people. But even the political leaders were not disturbed, because here they saw not a sign and a symbol of power. They didn't see a king riding on a white horse. They saw a peasant riding on the foal of a donkey, surrounded by a few ragamuffin disciples, fishermen, tax collectors, those who had been ignored or even despised by the rest of society, and children. In that society, children were considered insignificant. And so here is this purported Savior, surrounded by all the signs of insignificance. And yet, it was a demonstration of the greatest revolution the world has ever known. The coming of salvation into the world. The coming of the division between those who would follow this Savior and those who would reject him. Let's look together at this coming of a king that demands recognition. It can't be ignored. It couldn't be ignored there in the city of Jerusalem, nor can the coming of Jesus, the revelation of Jesus, be ignored today. Political rallies are designed to get attention, to gather support and recognition for a cause. Jesus' revolution is designed to call attention to gain support for the kingdom of heaven that appears in weakness, but comes in life-changing power. It can't be ignored. It demands recognition, because Jesus is sharing in his coming widespread information about who he is. Up to this point, Jesus has been talking selectively, even secretively, to his disciples. When he would perform a miracle, he would say, "Don't tell anybody. My time hasn't come yet." Because he knew that the mass hysteria of the crowd would try to force him to be the kind of Messiah that he indeed is not. He'd come to bring a kingdom that comes into human hearts, that changes from the inside out, and one that is everlasting and not temporary like the kingdoms of this world. And so Jesus came now saying, the time has come. Let the word out. Go into the streets, as I'm doing today in Jerusalem. Jesus is saying, go into the streets, the alleyways, the main thoroughfares, because salvation is coming for all eyes to see. Kingdom insight. Kingdom sight. Many in that crowd went along with the crowd. Just like in the book of Acts, it talks about how that some of the riots that took place, some of the people who were there didn't even know why they were there. And that's true today. If you think about the riots and demonstrations that take place, a lot of the people who are caught up in the fury and the enthusiasm and the rock throwing have no idea why they are there. But Jesus came and comes in a way that requires real insight and understanding as to why he is the Savior of the world and how he is the Savior of the world. This comes with kingdom insight. In verse 10, the question was raised, who is this? It's almost as if they're asking, who does he think he is? We don't see anything about this peasant, this man called Jesus from the little town of Nazareth, who has a small band of followers. We don't see anything of real significance about him. Who is he? Jesus had just healed a blind man before he comes into the city. And as he comes into the temple, he heals again those who are blind. In his miracles, Jesus is showing something of significance about what he comes to do. And in this crowd of people, there were those who were still spiritually blind, who really didn't understand his significance. There were a few who did, who understood that he was the Son of God. They believed him when he said, I am the light of the world, when he would heal the blind and give them sight. They believed him when he said, I am the bread of life, when he would multiply the bread and the fish and feed them. They believed him when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. They had this spiritual insight that is given by God alone. Think about these demonstrations. Governments are being changed and dictators are being removed, but there's still a lot of uncertainty about what will replace them. There's a lot of insecurity, by the way, even on the part of Christians throughout the Middle East and North Africa, wondering, will we have more or will we have less freedom? More or less persecution? And whoever comes to power, whatever the democracy or whatever the new dictatorship, soon disillusionment will set in. Nobody is completely happy with any political leader. All expectations cannot be met. That's true even for Jesus and in his kingdom. There are some people who expect Jesus to come with a kingdom that will immediately change the human situation, that will make life better and easier for us. And a lot of people, particularly in my home country, are attracted to churches that promise a quick fix. Get your life fixed. Get your income straightened out. And we're here to help solve all of your problems. And a lot of people are coming to Jesus and coming to church, joining up with that expectation that he will immediately make life better for us. Of course, he does give grace to us. But what he's more interested in is coming into us and transforming us on the inside, and being glorified in lives that stand firm and true and become Christ-like, even through life's adversities and difficulties. And so, the gospel is not about an immediate quick fix. It's not about making life easier for us, more successful and prosperous and healthy. It's about giving us Christ and letting him be formed in us and shown through us and being glorified by us. That's what kingdom life is all about. And so those who are expecting something else are bound to be disappointed. Even as those in the crowd who said, what is this salvation he's come to give? We know nothing about it, want nothing to do with it. Information that's widespread. Demanding recognition, either faith or unbelief. And so the coming of the king demands a response. It's great to see the children, because we know that children, as Jesus said, have a quality of belief, a readiness to accept and trust that adults often do not have. And so Jesus' enemies were very critical as he went into the temple, as he began to clean house in the temple to show his authority. They said, who is this one who has this so-called authority, who is being praised by even children who are saying, Hosanna to the Son of David? And Jesus said, haven't you read? From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. Jesus said, they know. They understand. They have the willingness to believe and to trust and to receive what is given to them. And that's faith. And Jesus said elsewhere, unless you have that quality in your faith, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. You have to have this childlike openness and willingness to believe and to follow and to accept and to submit to authority. The authority that Jesus showed in his house by cleaning the house and overthrowing the tables. So, children receive. And the coming of the king demands response, either reception, receiving him, and saying, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, accepting his authority, submitting to his lordship, or rejection. There were those who perhaps were neutral in the crowd. Those who sought just to neglect what they saw before them. But to neglect is to reject. When Jesus comes, as he comes today on this Palm Sunday, when he comes into our midst, we either receive him, believe him, trust him, follow him, love him, or we reject him. There's no middle ground. The crowd came with excitement. Jesus said elsewhere in the Gospels, these people are like Isaiah prophesied. They honor me with their lips. They give lip service. They come to worship. They sing the songs. They look like believers. They're respectable. They identify with Christianity. But Jesus said, their hearts are far from me. Hearts are unchanged. If your heart is unchanged, you're not in the kingdom. Because Jesus said, the kingdom is within you. It's a transformation of your heart where you learn to love God and love the Lord Jesus. And he lives in you, and he reigns within you, and he's transforming you. That's the kingdom life. That's what the children were singing about, praising God about, that the kingdom of God has come into us, has come into our midst, and Jesus is the one who brings the kingdom with everlasting results. Jesus knew the hearts of everybody in that crowd. Nobody fooled him. Those who were singing out of sincerity, those who were speaking out of hypocrisy. Jesus knows our hearts here today. Luke's gospel in chapter 19 tells us that when Jesus came into the city, he wept. Oh, Jerusalem, if you'd only known the things that make for your peace. Because in just a few years, it wouldn't be long before the city of Jerusalem would be overrun by the Romans. A lot of what Jesus prophesied about judgment and destruction was to take place in AD 70. But Jesus wept because he knew that many would not be prepared for judgment, nor would they be prepared to face eternity. And so, everlasting results. There's a contrast here. Actually, we call this the triumphal entry, but it was tragic. Because Jesus came into a city giving people the opportunity to believe in him, but many of the same people who said, Hosannas, praise God, praise the Lord for his salvation, soon they were to say, just in a matter of days, crucify him, crucify him. And so it was tragic. But it became triumphant once again on Easter morning. Jesus, of course, was crucified on Friday. He rose again on Sunday. Jesus came into the city riding on the foal of a donkey in humility. We read in the book of Revelation that Christ will come again, not on a donkey, but it pictures Christ as triumphant, the triumphant warrior king riding on a white horse in great power and bringing judgment. It all depends on how we act, what we believe, and what we are on Palm Sunday, this Palm Sunday, that will determine what we are, how we live for all eternity. We also read in the book of Revelation that there will be a Palm Sunday. We read in the book of Revelation, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Now, who's saying that? Who's saying those words of praise? Who are the people? Well, that same chapter 7 of Revelation says it'll be like a great big IBC Brussels. There will be people from every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every language, every people group who will be around the throne. And it says they will have palms in their hands. And they will praise the Lord Jesus, the triumphant King, the triumphant Lord, who is your Lord and my Lord. And if he is your Lord, then you will be with this great IBC congregation there in eternal glory, praising him around the throne on that great, eternal, everlasting Palm Sunday. Everlasting results. Brian began our service reading from the 118th Psalm, which is quoted in this Hosannas, praising to the Lord. I love the 24th Psalm that pictures this eternal Palm Sunday. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up your hearts. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. As he came into Jerusalem, may he come into your heart. May he come into your life. May he come into this dwelling place, this church, this worship center today. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be ye lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Let me ask you about your heart, your mind, your life. Are you willing, by grace through faith, to open your heart's door, your mind, to Jesus Christ in all that he claims to be as the Savior of the world, the Son of God? Are you willing to open your heart and mind and life to him? Are you willing to open your life to let Jesus be the Lord of your life and to follow him, the one who gave his life for you, who was raised again by the power of God, who reigns now in heaven, who's coming again on that great white horse? Are you willing now to follow him, to open your heart to him, open your life to him, that he, the King of glory, the one to whom we sing hosannas, that he may come in? Who is this King of glory? The psalmist asks. Just like the people there on that first Palm Sunday. Who is this? Who does he think he is? Who does he claim to be? Who is he? You answer that question. He is. He is the Son of God. He is the sinless Savior who died on the cross. He is the one who was raised again by the power of God. He is now the Lord God Almighty. He is the King of glory. May we pray. Father, I do ask that you might enable us on this Palm Sunday to open our hearts to who Jesus really is, to believe that he is the eternal Son of God, the great I Am, Savior of the world, the co-creator, as well as the one who is the great Redeemer. And may we, with sincere hearts, hearts of praise and adoration and submission, may we welcome Jesus into our lives, not only into the church, as these people welcomed him into the city, but may we welcome him into our hearts as Lord, as Master, as King of glory, as the one who rules, the one who cleanses, forgives sins, and gives the gift of eternal life. May we commit, submit, prepare, get ready to follow him for the rest of our lives as the Lord Almighty, as the everlasting King of glory. Father, I pray that you would speak to hearts today. I pray for those who do not know you through faith in Jesus Christ. I pray that there might be the miracle of rebirth, the miracle of conversion, the gift of eternal, everlasting life, and that people today, throughout this congregation, will begin to follow Jesus as Lord and say, he is my King, he is my Lord, he is my Savior. He's worthy of my praise. He's worthy of my life. I give my life to him. Father, may there be in our hearts a demonstration of our love to you, even as there was this great demonstration in Jerusalem. May we demonstrate to you our great love for you. And this is our prayer. And God's people who agree say together, amen.